to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, well, there are two curious verses, one in the gospel lesson, one in the psalm, and we will use those to guide our meditation. So from the gospel lesson, he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And so behold the man. Behold the man riding into Jerusalem with palm branches waving and shouts of Hosanna. Behold the man. Behold the man coming into Jerusalem, and it looks like he's coming as king. Behold the man. And behold the man has been our theme all through Lent. We have had behold the man tempted, alone, beaten, interceding, mourning, celebrating. Behold the man coming into Jerusalem. And on the way in, as the crowd is shouting the hosannas, the Pharisees, they say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Is that a figure of speech? Or does he mean it? Well, we begin that thought with what Jesus says he means. So what is going on? The king is coming. Hail him with palm branches. Oh, by the way, palm branches, if I have not explained this before, there's a symbolism with the palm branch. It comes from Jewish culture, that the spine of the palm branch, palm frond, is symbolic for the spine of a man. Stands straight and tall, and the fronds curved around like the rib cage. And as the palm branches are waved, it is a symbol meaning we stand in worship and honor to our God. We stand ready to serve. We stand devoting our hearts to our God and our Savior. And so they wave the palm branches, and there's symbolism. And they're shouting Hosanna. By the way, if I haven't explained this before, the word Hosanna, because of the strange way that Hebrew shifts letters around and reforms some words from other words, tucked within the word Hosanna is the word Yasha. Yeah, you don't see that in the spelling of the letters in English, do you? But it's there in Hebrew. And Yasha means salvation, and there's a person whose name was formed from the word salvation, and that would be Yeshua, Jesus. So as they're calling out Hosanna, whose name are they calling out? Tucked right in there, they are calling out the name of Jesus. Jesus the Savior, Jesus salvation, because Jesus doesn't just bring salvation, he is salvation. And so he enters Jerusalem. He comes there to be the king, and he comes there to bring salvation. He comes there to be salvation. But how does he save? At which point, we take in the second of our curious verses from the psalm. "Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar." And I have slid past that little half verse. I don't know how many times had some inkling what it was all about, but it didn't hit home fully until this year. "Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar." And as I'm putting together the service for today, behold the man, king and sacrifice. And to run across that verse once again, he is the sacrifice. So we want to check it out, and I... little entertaining something. I pull out my Jewish Publication Society Hebrew English Old Testament, and I look at the verse and look at the footnote, and the footnote says, meaning of the Hebrew, uncertain. Well, that's disappointing. So I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the Lutheran Study Bible and look up that verse and read the footnote. And the footnote says, and I opened it to the wrong page. And the footnote says, although the last phrase is difficult to translate, it has something to do with worship. Something to do with worship? Something? No, it has to do with the center of worship, the very center of everything. Here is the king. He's coming into Jerusalem, but he's coming as not only king, he's coming as sacrifice. He's coming knowing that he is going to go to the cross. He will go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He will be arrested. His hands will be bound with cords, and he will be taken to trial. And there at trial, he will be accused of saying that he's the Son of God, which he is. And because he proclaims that he's the Son of God, he will be declared guilty of saying that he's the Son of God, which he is. And brought to Pilate, and Pilate, in confusion, will not know what to make of this whole thing, and will wash his hands and say, you do it. And they will whip and scourge him. They will mock and ridicule him. And they will take him out to Calvary. And he will be nailed to the cross. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. He knows why he is going into Jerusalem. He is to be the sacrifice. And by being the sacrifice, he is to set our souls free. He is to redeem us. He is to lift our sins off of us and take them on himself. He is to be the sacrifice for all the things that we have done, said, thought, and felt that are wrong. And he will be there carrying the whole load for us. The verse is strange because it comes in Psalm 118, and Psalm 118 is a celebrating psalm. It's got things like, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, does valiantly. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And then, in the middle of the celebration, drops in very suddenly, bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar, and then it's done. And it returns to the celebration. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the center of everything. And it is celebration and wonder and amazement at the love of God and the amazing acts of God to save us. And we celebrate and we sing and we rejoice. And tucked right there in the center of everything, Christ the Passover Lamb, heading into Jerusalem. In fact, acting out the time frame, It's the 10th day of the month of Nisan. Bring the lambs into the city. Bring them in. Bring them in and set them aside and take care of them until the 14th day. That would be Thursday, Maundy Thursday. At twilight, then the lambs are sacrificed and slaughtered, and the Passover begins. Back in Egypt, the blood of the lamb would mark the doors of the people of Israel. And Christ, our Passover lamb, comes to Jerusalem. Back in Egypt, they would eat the Passover, being ready for the salvation of God because he was going to lead his people out of captivity, out of being that captive nation, out into the wilderness to be the people of God and to walk with God through the wilderness to the promised land. And Christ, our Passover lamb, has come. He gives the Passover supper. He gives the Lord's supper. He is the Passover lamb. He gives himself to us to eat and to drink his body, his blood, to forgive sins, to give life, and life eternally. And so he comes. As he comes into Jerusalem, we see the contrast, and it is the full extent of who he is. In fact, we could roll back the clock and remember Epiphany and the three kings who come bringing Jesus gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for a king, frankincense for a god, myrrh for death and burial. He comes into Jerusalem and he is king of all and servant of all. And both extremes to absolute perfection, he is king of all who has the right and who knows how to rule in our lives. He is the king of all who heals and restores, who raises from the dead. And he is servant of all, who then kneels down and begins to wash the disciples' feet. King and servant. He is your king and your servant because he will still be. He is your king because he knows each day what is right for your life. And you can trust him to rule your days and your hours by his wisdom. He is also your servant because he will meet your needs, hear your prayers, answer every prayer as is right and proper. He will call you to his house and he will feed you with himself. He also comes to Jerusalem and he is both God and man, the second of the contrasts and extremes. He is perfect God, equal to the Father. He is eternal. He rules and reigns over all things. He is God who created all things, and he is perfect man who came to be one of us, to be born, to be laid in a manger, to have to be fed, grew up to know hunger and thirst, and fatigue, to know sorrow and grief, and joy and celebration. Perfect God who cannot die. Perfect God in whom there is life. Perfect man who bows his head and dies on the cross. Carries us through his death and into his eternal life. The third of the contrasts, he comes as priest and sacrifice. Priest who is able to make offerings and forgive sins. priest who prays for his people and sacrifice. Sacrifice to shed his blood for you and for me. And so Jesus comes into Jerusalem as all things for our salvation. It makes sense then that the whole world should resound with his praises. It's a call and a gathering of the whole creation to the one place where salvation would be won. And the whole creation would respond. Sun darkened, an earthquake, curtain in the temple torn, bodies of Old Testament saints coming out of the tombs. The whole creation responds to this amazing act of God. But there's another gathering still to come. And Palm Sunday, it points to it. And the book of Revelation tells us about the great multitude there before the throne, in front of the Lamb, a multitude that no one could count from every nation and people and tribe and language. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they call out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And Jesus enters Jerusalem. King and sacrifice, to rule, to claim a kingdom, but to do so by dying for us, by shedding his blood for us. And that's the center of everything. And so when you hear from Zechariah, "Your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he." And the salvation that he has is to be himself, the sacrifice. When you hear Paul talking about it in Philippians and saying he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, therefore God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the Savior. He is salvation himself. He is the sacrifice. He has set us free. And we rejoice in his love. We rejoice in his love, but never, never forget the cost. In Jesus' name.